have been given a few moments this morning to be in conversation with you, so to speak, during what is customarily referred to as an Episcopal dress. And in so doing, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus Christ, who gives us new life and invites us to live in the power of resurrection. We are gathered again to conference, to be claimed in community for transforming mission in the world, to purpose to do together what would be difficult, if not impossible, to do apart, to celebrate accomplishment, to stir one another up to good works and to love, to worship and praise God, to examine ourselves, to align our resources, to listen together to our communities and the world. Yes, we United Methodists conference together. It is our way, and this year in particular, as happens every 4 years, we have and we will conference a lot. Charge and church conferences, district conferences, the annual conference, jurisdictional conference, the general conference. Whether we ourselves are present at each one of these conferences or not, what happens there does indeed affect us, both in local congregations and communities and throughout other parts of the connection. Because we are, by polity, custom, and choice, an interdependent system. Watch and listen now with me about the work specifically of the just completed General Conference of 2008 and some of the ways that that work and conferencing invites us forward in faithfulness, in mission, and in ministry.
Voices from around the world, all gathering to worship in Fort Worth. The global nature of the church was truly experienced at General Conference.
Over 50 nations, 5 continents, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, rich, poor, in between, a rainbow of colors, representing 48,000 United Methodist congregations and 11.4 million members around the world.
The theme, A Future with Hope, was woven throughout celebration and worship.
Kindly pray with me. Nammellara nirmanikkano.
God says to us, be strong, stand, receive. Let my love rain down upon you.
We are challenged with boldness and courage by the incarnation of hope we have seen.
But Abraham said, yes, you did laugh.
Tú se enteró de que los fariseos sabían que él estaba haciendo y bautizando más discípulos que Juan.
Hello, I'm Arthur McClanahan. General Conference 2008 considered more than 1,500 pieces of legislation. And the delegates from the Iowa Annual Conference carefully and prayerfully prepared for the challenge of charting the course of the church.
And then there is division. Our United Methodist soul is fractured by it. We are plagued with deep fear and anxiety, resulting in symptoms that mimic the reactivity of the world rather than the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, an important key to that transformation lies in the vision statement of the Association of Annual Conference Lay Leaders: empowered laity, partnering with clergy, offering Christ to the world.
I grew up in a small town in the U.S. where everyone was assumed to be white, Christian, middle class, heterosexual, and Republican. From an early age, I rebelled.
Our country's first president, Joseph Jenkins Roberts, was a United Methodist. Our longest serving president, William V.S. Tubman was a United Methodist. The establishment of the first secondary school, the College of West Africa, in 1839, was made possible by the United Methodist Church. I'm a proud alumni of that institution, and I now stand before you as the first democratically elected woman president in Liberia and in Africa.
The Methodist Church will be saved. The Methodist Church will be saved.
Today is World Malaria Day, and there is no better time for us to reflect upon something that has become near and dear to our hearts: the Nothing But Nets anti-malarial campaign.
Within the course of a few minutes, almost $15,000 was collected, adding to the $20 million that's already been raised for the BedNet program. And the Iowa Annual Conference can celebrate in that feat. Each of our delegates was assigned to one of 13 legislative committees. Each petition was considered in committee and then amended, adopted, rejected, or referred.
I did a lot of reading. I read the legislation, read letters, and looked at DVDs or CDs that people sent. But another important way that we prepared as a delegation was meeting together. We would talk about some of the issues that were coming up before General Conference. We would share our opinions about some of the legislation that we knew about ahead of time because of serving on different boards or agencies with the church. Then we prayed together. Prayer was an important part of my preparation as well. And my local church, I knew, was praying for me as I came.
We were a group of seven persons, two members from the continent of Africa, and five of us from the United States. And we identified some cultural issues that were challenging for us as we tried to come to consensus. But I'm very happy to say that we achieved consensus on all 28 of the petitions that we dealt with during the several days that we worked on those petitions. It was a transforming experience for me because it was very obvious that as we sought understanding, even on difficult issues, the Holy Spirit was present.
Most votes reflected proposed changes in the Book of Discipline, which is our Book of Law, and also in the Book of Resolutions, which outlines the Church's position on social issues. One petition dealt with amending the Constitution to allow the 2012 General Conference to restructure into regional bodies and to form a study committee to make recommendations in 2012.
I believe the translator.
Petitions ranged from environmental stewardship to inclusiveness, and delegates were challenged with the task of holy conferencing on each issue.
I move that we close nominations.
We have bound ourselves together in covenant to do no harm, do good, and to stay in love with God. As we have worked our way through the legislative material, some decisions have been more wrenching than others to all the members of this body and the whole church, including your bishops. As your bishops, we want you to know that we have been in deep conversation, holy conferencing, and sensitive listening to you and to one another.
I think the holy conferencing process helped us around the issue of homosexuality. It felt like the debate on the floor of the General Conference was civil, even though it was divisive and it was very hard for us.
I felt the leadership of our discipleship committee, legislative committee, was very intentional about including everyone and including all voices and opinions.
And I think a lot of the issues that we've been struggling with at General Conference had to do with that particular issue. How do we widen the circle of what we understand to be the mission and ministry of United Methodists around the world.
Also before the delegates were issues of health care for anyone within the United States, a church-wide statement on abortion, as well as creation of a committee to revise our current hymnal.
I hope that we will create a book that uses all the new technologies, all the new languages of worship, that helped my grandchildren also discover God through this resource.
The overall emphasis of General Conference centered around four areas of focus. These are engaging in ministry with the poor, stamping out the killer diseases of poverty by improving health globally, creating new places for new people and renewing existing congregations, and developing principled Christian leaders for the church and the world.
Bishop Palmer is a collaborator, a connector, a relationship builder, a real people person. And that phone in his ear is his constant way of reaching out to touch base with folks and to be sure that we're all moving in the same direction together. And I look forward to his leadership. I'm grateful for the honor to have served, but I am so ready, Bishop Palmer.
In the end, the 2008 General Conference of the United Methodist Church took the following actions: to reduce the number of U.S. bishops by 2012, to create a hymnal revision committee, and a study to develop an Africana songbook, to give sacramental authority to deacons in the absence of an elder, to forward constitutional amendments on the worldwide nature of the church to annual conferences for action, to raise $100 million for global health.
The process was one of cooperation and love centered in our belief in Jesus Christ. And a future with hope was the unshakable message of General Conference 2008.
I hope this short video that summarizes General Conference that was produced by UMCOM and then re-engineered by our own Director of Communications, Art McClanahan, helps to give you a flavor of the experience and point the way in terms of direction for the United Methodist Church. Now, what does that have to do with us during these days of conferencing here together? We United Methodists conference in part, as I intimated earlier, to be claimed in community for transforming mission in the world. As United Methodists, we are more and more becoming clearer and clearer about the church's primary mission, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We see a world made new and shaped like the heart of God. And we say that that happens as we and others are shaped in community to more and more resemble the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. But even a clear mission, boldly stated, must have texture and shading, contour and color. The texture, shading, contour, and color come in part as we prayerfully and humbly determine what it is we as church will pay attention to. In fact, what we as the church choose to pay attention to determines in part how we are paid attention to, or said another way, how seriously those outside of the church take us. After all, we will be known by our works and by the fruit that we bear. To this end, we United Methodists are claiming four areas of focus that were delineated in this brief DVD and are also expressed on the handout that has come or is coming to you even as I speak, entitled A Hopeful Future. You will find those four areas of focus on page 4. And other colleagues throughout this conference will be saying more and more about how we can be in alignment with them. You will also see a card that has come or is coming to you, and it is the Three Simple Rules Commitment or Pledge card. And it is an invitation for you to join other United Methodists in saying that I promise to live by these three simple rules. They are the 21st century restatement of the general rules of our movement. Do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. Other colleagues, as I said, will be underscoring both the three simple rules, the seven vision pathways, and the four areas of focus. The question that I want to beg is shaped by the work of a researcher named Paul Light, who I believe is at New York University, who spends his writing and research focusing on attitudes about and practices of nonprofit organizations, particularly here in the United States. As a part of his research, he has painted a useful contrast for me, at least, but I believe for this annual conference and for the whole church, between what he calls sustainable enterprises and robust enterprises. Sustainable enterprises I take to be those institutions which are sort of mostly holding their own. Sometimes they are merely holding on. Robust enterprises, he characterizes as having a greater sense of life and engagement, and he says that they are marked by the following four characteristics. Robust enterprises, Light suggests, are highly alert to fluctuations before they become trends. Robust enterprises are highly adaptive. Robust enterprises are agile, and robust enterprises are marked by the alignment of their resources with their mission. It is this mission adaptability and agility that has captured my imagination within all of this, but it is all important and it all interacts together. I'm so pleased to report to you that because the United Methodist Church, along with others in faith communities and not in faith communities, has seen a significant opportunity to make a strategic intervention relative to the disease called malaria, and we did not get bogged down in too much bureaucratic machinery, we have raised what is now hurtling toward and may be exceeding, even as the annual conferences meet, $20 million as United Methodists. You, my friends, are responsible to date for over $193,000 given toward nothing but nets. Now, this is not a commercial about nets. There will be other times that we'll do that. However, I do expect you to go over 200,000 while we are in session this week. What this is a conversation about is, what does it mean to see where we can make strategic interventions in really making the world new with God and in partnership with other leaders in the church, the churches, and the world? What does it mean to be highly adaptive to strategic mission opportunities? And what does it mean for a cumbersome, sometimes moribund, overstructured church like ours to be agile to respond on the mission field and then to align the resources to meet the needs and the emerging challenges? My prayer and my question for you as I take my seat, as we are together during these days, how might we use this time of Christian holy conferencing to let these questions be begged in our midst? rather than scrapping over some other things in order to be positioned to respond to the mission that is before us and to join God in nothing less than the complete transformation of the world. What would it be like for 3.5 days in Ames to be spent raising the questions and responding to them, albeit sometimes through legislation? What are the fluctuations now that may become trends, and what are the trends that we need to catch up with? Where do we need to become an adaptive community of leaders, as Ron Heifetz says? Where do we need to be more agile, and how might the rich resources that God has bestowed upon us and that we ourselves are become more effectively aligned with the mission and with the other resources in order that we can join God in making disciples of Jesus Christ for the complete transformation of the world? God bless you.